It'd be great if you could have 1 Peter 2 open in front. We're going to hear most of the passage that was read earlier again now, because this morning we're thinking about the section from verse 13 to verse 17. So let's hear God's word to us this morning. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Let's pray for a moment. Give us grace, O Lord, by your Spirit, to receive what your word says to us, that our lives would be corrected where they need it, that we would receive the encouragement and help of your Spirit to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this text draws us deeply and immediately into something that's very important at the moment, which is how we relate to government and to authority. And for the last few months, this has been significant for us as never before. Just think for a moment. Say you're seven, and the government said 3 months ago that you couldn't go to school. And then just recently, the government has said again that you can go to school, but you have to keep apart from certain people. Many of us have been told that we can't work in our workplaces. We have to work from home. We've been told we can't go and visit people in their homes. We can't have people to have a picnic with a large group of us out somewhere lovely in Cambridge like Grantchester Meadows. And in hundreds and thousands of ways, government has, if you like, been present and even interfering in our lives more than almost any of us will ever have known. And it's been fascinating just to watch what's happened in society at general, how much people have gone along with what government has said during the COVID lockdown. For some people, it's been close to 100%. Other people, there have been all sorts of ways they haven't submitted to government. And it does us good this morning, as lockdown restrictions are starting to be lifted, for us just to think from the Word of God about how we relate to government, about whether we should do what it says, and why, if we're Christians. Because this is a message about what a difference the Christian gospel and knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior makes to those things. This is a message about how living the Spirit of Jesus out in our lives looks in practice as we relate to government and the wider society. Now, last week we thought a bit about this, and we had some diagrams to try and help us. And here, if we think of the blue circle as representing wider society and the pink one, or orange one, salmon-coloured one, as the church, we saw that the church is different. It is a different colour, but it isn't separate from society totally. In fact, the church is part of society in important ways. And yet, Peter describes the ways that we're part of society as not being just part of that society, because we belong to a coming society. We are pilgrims. We're part of God's new society. We're members of Christ's family, the church. And there is a sense in which we're a bit different, because our lives are oriented to the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his new society in perfection. So while we're not separate from society and we are part of it, the way we live looks different. And this morning we start to explore what that looks like in practice. We remember who we are, remember members of Christ's family, pilgrims in our own society. And then we hear that submission to the rulers and leaders of that society matters. We are to submit to the government. Now, in Peter's day, that was the Roman emperor. The Roman emperors varied. None of them were particularly nice people, I think. And it may well be that the one who was the emperor when he was writing was Nero, who was a particularly nasty character. And yet he says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him. And what he is talking about, what he is pointing to, is that every human society has some kind of layered system of authority. There may be an emperor, and there may be governors, and there may be localized expressions of that authority. There may be a parliament and a prime minister and a cabinet, as we have in this country, with local councils and all sorts of layers to that. This is how human societies organize themselves. Even in a remote tribe, without much connection with other people, there'll be some sort of authority structure. And the basic principle is that we are to submit to that authority structure. In fact, we're to submit to all the different structures that there may be. Next slide, Kevin. If you see here, I've tried to put these men in briefcases, or women in briefcases too, in just to represent the governors. Because the Roman emperor was in Rome, the people were a long way away from Rome, and so Rome sent governors there, and they did much of the administration and the ruling, and it just sums up a whole system that the Romans had there. We have the same in our own society. And Peter's message is that we should submit to it, and we should submit to all legitimate authority. Now, someone will say, why should I do that then? And the first reason why we should do that is right at the beginning. For the Lord's sake. We should submit to authority because of Christ. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are other reasons, and there are good reasons, and we're going to come on to some of them. But if you are a believer, the Lord is saying to you this morning, whether at this moment you feel that you like it or not, you are called to submit to all the authority that is there in your life because of Jesus. And this is an issue between you and Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you, submit to the authority. Submit to it. Why does that have special weight? Because Jesus himself was a man, and Jesus submitted to authority. Jesus submitted to authority to the extent that he allowed himself to be crucified, even on an unjust charge. And as chapter 2 and chapter 3 of 1 Peter start to unfold, again and again we come back to the example of Jesus Christ. He submitted, and so we should submit too. And the way in which we submit to him is to submit to human authority. Then there's a second reason. Next slide, Kevin. We should submit to human authority because authorities have important responsibilities. They're there for a purpose. And the purpose is outlined there in verse 14, where he speaks of the governors who the Roman emperor sent. And it says, governors are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. A society without any authority punishing offenders would be an utterly awful place to live. And it's government's authority to make laws and to enforce laws, including with law courts and legal systems and punishments and prisons and so on. It's also the function of government to encourage good behavior and to commend it. You see that in the second half of the verse, to commend those who do right, and governments find different ways of doing that. One is the honors system in this country, and they had similar things in the ancient world. Government, therefore, has this function, this double function of restraining and punishing evil and wrong behavior, and encouraging and rewarding good behavior. And societies work better when there is a government doing those things. Oh, someone will say, well, what if there's a terrible prime minister? What if there's a president who I don't regard as my president? And Peter is very clear about this. If Peter could hear you saying that today, he would say, look at the person I was writing about. Not a nice figure. A tyrant. Given to irrationality. And governors who themselves were often corrupt and exploitative. A whole imperial system. It was a colony that they were in. And the Romans had come in and had butchered people. This was not a nice regime. This was an imperialistic and brutal and authoritarian regime. And Peter says to you, are you under a worse president? Are you under a worse prime minister? I don't think so. And he says, I experienced it right up there as I saw them crucify the Son of God. And yet what he would say to you is this: better a terrible tyrant than anarchy. Because anarchy is terrifying. And as John Calvin, commenting on these verses, says, there has never been a tyrant whose rule did not have some good elements to it. When British and American forces invaded Iraq, Saddam Hussein was being painted by some as though he was the worst tyrant ever, and certainly he ranks up there, but you know, under Saddam Hussein, Christians were able to worship reasonably freely, and national television showed Christian films at some times. There was some good element there. Even with someone like that, there always is. There is a right purpose to authority, and we work for the good of our society when we submit to it. And then there's another reason why we submit to it. Next slide, Kevin. It's there in verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. For Christians to be submissive to authority is important because it silences the criticism that Christians always face. In every single society, in every single culture, there will be some bits of Christian belief that people think are dangerous and offensive. It just changes from society to society, but there is always something. And when people start seeing Christians meeting together and regarding themselves as a bit different, they start to get critical, they start to get negative, they start to get suspicious. It always happens. Rumors fly. They flew in the ancient world. People spread the rumor that a Christian communion service was actually a kind of cannibalistic feast. Same in our society. Many Christian beliefs are treated as things which people don't just not believe or not agree with, but things which are offensive. And so Christians will be criticized. How do we answer the criticism? Well, there are different ways in which we do it. But one of the ways that is most effective is what Peter says here. Be a good citizen. Show yourself to be someone who is working for the good of society. And that will tend to end, or at least silence, or at least reduce the level of criticism. And make Jesus real for people in your life, even if actually there are things about believing in Jesus that people still find difficult. Submission to authority matters. Let's take a brief pause now. The screen will come up with a question you might like to think about, and then we'll come back in a few seconds, or you might like to pause it and take longer. Now, if you're anything like me and most people I know, you'll have heard all that, and you'll be thinking, but what about this, and but what about that? And Peter anticipates some of those but what about it bits as we go on. Let's hear again verse 16. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as cover up for evil. Live as God's slave. You see, freedom matters. We do have responsibilities to wider society. We have responsibilities to all the authority tiers that are in society, whether it's the head teacher of a school, our boss at work, whether it's the prime minister, whether it's a judge, whether it's a policeman, all sorts of different things. We do have those responsibilities. We are to submit. And yet, he says, your freedom in Christ is real and it matters. We submit voluntarily because of the presence of Christ in our lives. We do so as human beings with agency who make a decision, and we choose to do so. And we choose to do so knowing that we have a more important relationship, our relationship with God. The God who in Christ has set us free from the slavery of sin and from the curse of sin and from the guilt of sin. Has set us free from just living under the law and set us free instead to know himself through Jesus Christ, his Son. Who has set us free from the fear of hell and of eternal judgment, set us free to anticipate heaven. We are free people. And the fact that we have to obey government does not change that. And the danger of that teaching in relation to government is that someone will say, well, it's God that I answer to, and God hasn't made the motorway speed limit. I don't think God particularly cares much about the motorway speed limit. Or someone will say, I'm a Christian, and I find that reinforcing all my instincts, which are that I am an independent, free individual. I'm not accountable to anyone. I'll kind of keep the laws as much as I can, but frankly, if I don't agree with them, I'm not going to take much notice of them. They're only man-made things. I'm part of God's family. That's what counts. And in human Christian history, people have done that often. They've regarded themselves as not under the laws of the country because they belong to Christ, and they've argued that from a position of Christian freedom. And Peter says it's more complicated than that. You are free in Christ, but at the same time, you cannot use that as an excuse for wrong behavior by the standards of your society. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Each of us is going to be tempted to do that in some way. And maybe it's the thought, well, my sins can be forgiven, so it's not going to matter very much if I break this minor regulation of the local authority. Of course, Jesus will forgive me, and really it's my relationship with Jesus that matters most. Those kind of thoughts operate quite deep under the surface for many of us. We may not be aware of it, but they are real. And he says, don't use your freedom in Christ as a cover-up for evil, for wrongdoing, for things that would shame Christ and bring shame on us. And then in a very bold way, he says, we are free in Christ, but how has Christ set us free? He set us free to live as God's slaves, people who are devoted to the most wonderful master and who therefore live for him now. And living for him now includes obeying the laws, rules, and regulation of the society and the different parts of it that we find ourselves in. That's just what the text says. And there's a further wrinkle here, because there are some people who are much more law-abiding. And some people will almost instinctively want to find out every kind of rule or regulation there is and seek to fulfill it, and then try to ensure that other people do, and maybe be rather self-righteous in criticizing the other people. That's another feature, and that's not Christian freedom. And then there are some people who see what the rules of society are and how they clash with God's rules, and because they're fearful, they use that sort of sense of being free. Well, actually, society says I mustn't witness at all. That's not a law, but it's just what society says. So I'm going to be very, very quiet about my faith in Jesus. And Peter would say, don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Remember, there are some ways in which there's a clash between God's law and human law or societal expectations. And at that point, you have to be ready to go out on a limb. Because you are God's slaves, not the slaves of your society. We're going to take another quick break for you to have a think about those things, and you can pause if you like or come straight back. And then Peter comes to a kind of summary of the whole thing, in which he puts things in a brief form and in quite a wider context. This is verse 17. He says, "Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, and honour the emperor." And at this point, we start to bring the whole thing together. The first thing we notice is that we are to show proper respect to everyone, including honour the emperor. And some translations use the same verb for both things. In other words, honour everyone, or show honour everyone and honour the emperor, or show proper respect to everyone and show proper respect to the emperor. And that's where we'll start. You need to go back one slide, Kevin. That's great. Life in wider society is not just about a relationship with the government, still less the head of the government. It's a relationship that is general. And there always have been some societies which have tried to make the government, and particularly the head of the government, the king, the emperor, the president, the prime minister, or whoever, dominant in a totalitarian way. It happened in Soviet Russia, it happened in Nazi Germany, it's happened in other systems and other countries at other times. And what Peter does here is to show that the respect that's due to the emperor is actually a general respect for all human beings, and that in our relationships within society, we are to give everyone love and honour and act for their good. Someone has put it this way: the world admires and respects the powerful, the famous, the rich, the movers and shakers. But Christians must seek out and serve the weak, the powerless, the broken and disgraced. And in between the one and the other are any numbers of ordinary, everyday folk who before God have extraordinary and eternal significance. Whatever their race, culture, ability or job, they are to be shown that respect which is right for a fellow human being, who are not just well-evolved animals or chunks of social structure or political fodder or potential rivals or convenient servants, but made in the image of God. And the same writer goes on to say, the Christian cannot give the spitting image treatment. He's referring to a highly contentious but very funny political satire show of the time when this was preached in the 1980s and 90s. We might say the Twitter treatment of loud contempt for other human beings, even if we sometimes laugh at their and our follies. The trouble with the fashionable cynicism of such things is that it ultimately devalues the very authority that holds a society together and reduces all of human existence to a farce. In other words, in our relationships with wider society, Christians are to be respectful of other persons, including those in authority. Where does this affect our lives? It affects what you like on Twitter. It affects what some of you are posting or reposting on your Facebook feeds. There's nothing at all wrong with political comment, and nothing at all wrong with political criticism. But to adopt a position of contempt towards a president or a prime minister who the Bible says has been appointed by God is to be contemptuous towards God. And in North America, and in the UK, and in other places right now, this is one way where Christians are to be different. What you like on Twitter, what you pass on your Facebook feed, is an expression of whether you love Donald Trump or Boris Johnson or the President of China or the President of France or whether you hate them. God sees those actions and he says, Are you honoring the emperor? And I'm pausing and waiting on this because it seems to me this is something a lot of us need to take very, very seriously. There is nothing wrong with intelligent, informed political criticism. There is a great deal wrong with publicly or privately expressed attitudes of contempt that reduce someone else and fail to recognize that all authority is appointed by God and should be submitted to. And then we see that there are obligations within the family of God. Next slide, Kevin. We are to show deep love within the family of believers. We mustn't forget that in our thoughts about wider society. During lockdown, that's been happening wonderfully within Eden. And I want to encourage you, as lockdown restrictions ease, utilize them, exploit them. Work out when you can have someone else round, people from another household round. Work out when you can do it in your garden or in your home. Develop, reignite those gifts of hospitality and welcome. Work out when you can organize with a few others to go out. Let's throw ourselves back into the human contact that's permitted as we love one another. And then there's that great phrase, so short and yet so important, in the middle. Fear God. Fear God. Fear God above all things. Fear Him as the ultimate maker. Fear Him as the ultimate authority. Show deep, reverent respect for Him and work that out in your relationships with one another. What does this mean in practice? This means in practice that Christians live lives which are regarded as good in society. We obviously submit to the laws which in a clear way match God's laws. Do not commit murder, that's a statute in our society, and of course we do that. But we also submit to the laws that may take away things that are not explicitly referred to in God's word. So, for example, I'm borrowing some of this and adding to it. We submit to the laws that take away our right to choose to go 75 miles an hour on the motorway. We submit to the laws that take away our right to choose to keep our car lights off when it's dark. We submit to the laws that take away our right to choose to drive without a seatbelt. We submit to laws that take away our right to make very loud noises in the middle of the night. We submit to laws that take away our right to choose to keep our kids out of any kind of schooling, whether homeschooling or government schools. We submit to the laws that take away our right to choose to use leaded petrol. We submit to the laws that take away our right to choose not to pay taxes. We submit to the laws that take away our right to choose not to smoke in restaurants. And as lockdown eases, we submit to laws that take away our right to choose to go on public transport without a face mask. We submit to laws that still will take away our right to choose to have 3 families round for a meal in our house, or 10 people in our garden, at least for the moment. And as we think about the implications for our church going forward, we choose to submit to guidance, which is guidance, but is still significant, that takes away our right to pack people into our church building like a hand in a well-fitting glove. I often think that Eden is a bit like this. We get the people in, it's a little bit of a struggle, but we do all fit in, and we enjoy being together. But as lockdown eases, it's not going to be just as easy as saying next Sunday, well, you all come back, and we can all be sitting cheek by jowl, because we fit tightly together. It's going to take us a while. And it's going to take the church leaders a while to work through not just what is permitted, and that's hard enough, but what is right and what is possible and what is feasible. And for some of you, this is going to feel deeply irritated because you'd like everyone to be back in Eden next Sunday morning. You may be expecting it, and you may certainly want it. And I have to say to you, this is going to be hard for you. And this text is what you must come back to. Submit to the governing authorities within the church and within the nation. We are going to do our level best to have people back in the building in a safe way as soon as we can, but it's going to take time. It's not going to be quick, and it's certainly not going to be easy. We're going to work through it as responsibly as we possibly can to ensure the best for everyone. And during that time, I have to say to some of you, you're going to find that hard, and I just have to ask you to submit to the government and to submit to the church leaders. And we do so within this overall understanding that Christ is honored in our submission to authority. That fellow believers say it, and when we don't badmouth authority, and when we aren't contemptuous of leaders that we find it hard to respect, and when we do live for the good of society, and we aren't always challenging the rules and regulations of whatever group we're in, people notice, and our witness is enhanced. I'm not very much into football, but I've taken note this week of the success of Liverpool Football Club in winning the Premier League, and this is the first time since 1919, is a very big deal. And if you don't know much about football, it may be little interest to you, but the manager of Liverpool Football Club, Jurgen Klopp, is a fascinating man to study. He's a very, very good manager. He's a very, very tall man as well, and a lively character. He's also well known to be a Christian. And one of the fascinating things is that in the interviews that I've heard and the things that speak of him being a Christian, I don't get people criticizing him for his faith. And I've wondered why, because generally people have a go at just about anyone who's a Christian if they possibly can. I wonder if it is partly that he's just very good at his job, and that generates a lot of good feeling towards him, and that may be part of it. It would also be true, though, that he's someone who doesn't stir up trouble. He's not forever bad-mouthing referees. And so that and other kinds of behaviour which have been submissive to authority within the football system and doing good within that system have silenced the criticism of those who might criticise and given him a platform for saying things like the most important event that's ever happened is Jesus Christ coming into the world and being crucified for our sins. It's an inspiring example. Let's ask for God's help to take it forward. Grant us, O Lord, to receive what you've said to us today, and each of us in our own hearts and lives, to be submissive to the authority that you've placed there. And in doing so, Lord, we pray we may live out our freedom to serve Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.